Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to learn about the music industry from the inside out. Welcome to Hip Hop National Radio.
Hip Hop National Radio.
Yeah, y'all know what it is.
Get ready to hear today's newest stars of hip hop, rock, pop, R&B, gospel, and more.
That's it.
All right. You know what time it is. We're about to get into another topic right here on the program. This is your boy Poetic, and tonight we're going to have an awesome show. We're going to be talking about the Grammys. And the big question is, did you learn anything from the Grammys tonight? As we explore into the night's topic, we're going to ask God to go ahead and cover the show as we always do. Lord, thank you for giving us a platform to express ourselves collectively as a community. We ask that you bless the ears, the minds, and everybody who's tuned in to our program on the regular, that they can get from the topics that we express here something out of it to take back into the industry for the best use of their career. In Jesus' name, we pray, amen. Tonight, guys, we're talking about, did you learn anything from the Grammys? It is said that the Grammys is the holy grail for the music industry. Artists work their entire career to achieve this award. Now, check this out. An independent stepped up to bat. Macklemore and Ryan Lewis, they got the award. They won the award in just a short few years since they've been in this industry. Just a few years under their belt, independently, they did it without a label. The question is the industry experiencing a shift in the paradigm? Is the future of hip-hop under transformation? I guess the big question is, are we sleeping? Are we slipping? That's what we're going to be talking about tonight. I'm going to bring my boy Raw Dog in. Raw Dog, what's your thoughts of tonight's topic?
Well, you know what? I'm happy to be here this evening, and I got my degree, so you can call me Professor Raw Dog whenever you desire. I have tried to explain the shift. It's not that the artists are sleeping. It's not that, you know, they're slipping. They're just not understanding that as soon as the industry allows you to think that you've caught up and can compete, there's a shift in the product that the public or the consumer is desiring. You know, the Grammys last night were a great canvas for the young artists to watch the performances, the science of what they saw, not just the point of, and when I've mentioned on this show, the stage, the spotlight, you know, the team. It's no longer the same as the good old days in rap. It's now changed to a different platform. So I predicted it. I kept saying it, and it has now come to life. Have I lost you now, Poetic?
Oh, absolutely not.
Hey. No. You know what? It's a lot to take in. Because if we think about what we saw last night.
Well, you have to, you know, the truth is, yes. You have to look at it from a perspective of, like, if you're in this industry and you're in it as a business for yourself, you have to look at it as a inspiration. So as a way to build your artistry. You got to look at it. You can't just look at it, oh, they were just performing on stage. And, you know, you got to look at the way they transition, such as when I saw Macklemore he turned over the you know, mic to I don't know his singer name, but the female, and
right.
And it was a, just such a so smooth of a transition. Then they did this announcement in the middle of that performance.
Right, they went into a medley and they carried the song into
yeah.
a different point. You're right.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
they had the
very,
ceremony.
Very good. Very
but
good.
What I mean by the science, you know, I came up during the era of watching, you know, the greats, James Brown, the Wilson Pickett's. I even remember seeing videos of Otis Redding doing live performances. I saw Isaac Hayes. I saw Richie Havens. I saw, you know, Taj Mahal. I saw, you know, I saw artists that did spoken word, and they had a show. They entertained because it was a spotlight on creativity. You got to see all the different heads that were put into making that production, to make that sound, that music. And that is what rap took away, because they used to have the DJ. And, you know, none of the acts last night had a DJ. Now, there were some that had, if I'm not mistaken, Beyonce and Jay-Z, they did theirs to a track. They didn't have the live music.
It seemed like it was from a track.
Pardon
me?
Yeah,
it looked like it was from a track. If they put it this way, they didn't highlight the band.
No, not at all. There was nothing behind them. It was just those two.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah,
you know, that performance was somewhat cold. It didn't have the – it was placed in the right spot. It was the first. They were the first ones to come out. You know, they were easy to forget because it wasn't a spectacular performance.
I can't say it was easy to forget. I mean, actually, Beyonce is being
talked about.
What
color was Jay-Z's tie?
I wasn't looking at his tie. I was looking at other
okay,
things
see, that's
on
what
stage.
I'm saying.
That was
you
more
were focusing
that
on
more,
something else.
That was more interesting.
Well, you were focusing on something else, not the music. let me tell you something. That's why Beyonce was dressed that way.
Mm-hmm.
There was nothing else to watch.
Unfortunately, she's receiving a lot of flack from spectators.
Exactly. You know what? Not necessarily. See that she performed that in front of other artists, and they saw the lack of entertainment. You know, okay, yes, she's a beautiful lady.
How about I tell you, don't get me wrong, I was entertained.
Well, but see, that's the catch to it.
Entertained.
Well, yeah, but she was the moves and all of that. We had never seen Beyonce being that, how would we explain, ratchet.
Yeah, now that's the thing. People said that she's undoubtedly a talent and can sing. I was just reading some of the comments on Twitter and stuff. And they said, but her that outfit was trashy, and it was not classy.
Right, and her gyrating on stage was the
yeah.
focal point of the whole song. It was about surfboard or something. I couldn't even figure out what the heck the song really was about. You know, because it was like it was ratchet. It was just ratchet. Okay. Did I call my 13-year-old daughter in the room? Well, no. Did I call my 13-year-old daughter in the room and say, hey, it's Beyonce and Jay-Z? No. I passed
probably
on
told
that.
Her to get out the room.
Yeah, see, so it wasn't entertainment. But after them, everyone else that came on, she could have watched the complete show, you see, because of the fact that it was they entertained you. Each group that came out that won the Grammy had an entertainment value. You see, and because of their talent. You know, now Robin Thicke was weak in that last night. His voice was off key. He could not. He really didn't fit in the Chicago tune that he did. It showed that he didn't have the depth in his talent to carry a song like that. His voice wasn't powerful enough. He was off pitch. And it was somewhat of an embarrassment because the songs that he was singing were classic Chicago songs. Everybody's heard, everybody knows, and everybody expects to hear that perfect pitch singer. And their singer gave it up for him to sing it. So, you know, there's another observation. But when we want to talk about the hip hop and what have
you, what was your take on Kendrick Lamar?
Kendrick Lamar, that performance that he did was quite good, but it was unusual, out of his setting. It was out of
the
his
show
setting.
The show lights was like crazy.
No, but that was, he did a great performance,
yeah.
But that was for the Grammys. That wasn't a natural him.
Yeah.
See, the people ramp up for the Grammys, or they bring and do what they do on stage in a concert or an event. And that, you know,
isn't that to be expected?
Well, not if the people requiring that. See, you know, you can go and you can do a show and what have you that is only the DJ and the artist. I've seen that. I've seen Lil Wayne do that. I saw T-Pain did that. You know, he was at an outdoor event. It was during the day, not in an evening. And, you know, he had only a DJ and his microphone. You know, it wasn't an expensive pay venue. And so you get what you pay for. And you got him and a DJ.
So overall, do you think we really are experiencing a shift and in the paradigm, and if so, why do you think so?
Because the Grammys and the payday, it was all there shown in front of you. I mean, you know, one thing is to do the production and have people like Niles Rogers playing the guitar on that track. You know, we got to remember that, Pharrell is a drummer. He's also a musician. So that being that product that he put together had the human energy. And, you know, the thing about it is it was a great dance party song. It didn't have any meaning. It was just a good time song. Great, great presentation on stage. You know, he had the gadgets and the gimmickry. He had, you know, in the booth or as a giant radio type thing. You had Daft Punk in a like a little squared off area, and they did their vocal portion in that with their effects on their voices and what have you. And it was good because, guess what? Everybody really wanted to see how it could be done live. And he did that. And, you know, they walked away with the big one last night. They got the best, I believe, I'm not sure which category they got that one in. Best album or best song of the year. One of the one of those categories. But they took the big one, you know. And when we start talking.
Okay, I was going to say, Macklemore said that he thought that Kendrick Lamar should have won the award. What's your thoughts?
That's just being humble.
The
fact is, he didn't. I would have said the same thing if I'd have won. Wouldn't you?
Just to sound humble.
Yeah, I mean, that's
the man you got robbed.
Okay, I'll give you an example. Richard Sherman of the Seahawks, the last play of the 49ers, they interviewed him, and he said he was the best. He said that that the other guy it wasn't a good receiver, and that he was the best, and they almost crucified him for that. So okay, here's Macklemore. He takes the other approach. Yeah, Kendrick Lamar. He should have won that, but he didn't. I think that was very, very honorable. The right thing to say, and you keep on walking. What about you?
Yeah, I agree. I do. He predicted that it would be, that he would do it. But, you know, when it came all to fruition, he was prepared to, you know, try to handle it the best way he could. Without being egotistic.
Well, yeah. You want to be humble in front of your fans. Michael was.
Mm-hmm.
He was always appreciative of his fans, pushing them to a higher plateau. It wasn't ego. It was, I think Kendrick should have won that. But, you know, when he left out of the carry, he said, but that sucked. He didn't win. What'd they expect me to say? You know, I mean, hey, come on now. If Kendrick Lamar was supposed to win, he would have won. But now here's something. We had someone come on last week, and you know, he brought up a racial point. Now, I'm going to give you something to trip you out. Everybody that Grammy'd that in hip hop and the best album, what have you, I want you to take note. It was a rainbow of people, of different. They were black and they were white.
Uh-huh.
In each one of them, even in you know, Jay-Z got a Grammy for the Holy Grail.
Uh-huh.
Justin Timberlake. See, the thing about it is this. Music is now embracing that no color line.
Yeah, because, don't get me wrong, Macklemore being white and stuff like that, they was trying not to put his song in a rap category. They were saying that it was pop. But because you know it fit in that it kind of was like in the middle, he ended up taking the award anyway because it was really hip hop. They were trying to find every reason not to because they think that he wouldn't be accepted in a black or predominantly black industry.
Well, see, now, there is a weak mind. Let me tell you why. Macklemore went to a school that was predominantly black. He grew up in the area, just like in Eminem, okay? He put in the time. When he came out, he called himself Professor Macklemore. His group, his musical group, comprises itself of African-American musicians. You know, so the thing about it is that, you know, we can find all types of reasoning. But then if you look at the science, his song compared to I Like Big Butts, and he's talking about the thrift store, the comparison is just over the top. Because basically they are the same type of fruity song. But you can relate to it. You know, I like big butts. Well okay.
Even though it says I like big butts, back in the days, now I got to ask you this. Do you think in the days, because a little things were a little bit more taboo when that song came out, do you think it was...
No, you know what happened?
What?
You really want to know what happened? I'll tell you. Okay. In this world, they changed the desire to no longer put the females that had a larger shape in, they weren't in the spotlight. They weren't the chased after. Because they had gone through the era of thinner females. And the, you remember from the Twiggy look to where the women were all wearing long skirts, the maxi look. And the fashion and what have you went back to shorter skirts, and spandex came in. And so it was a point of that it embraced and brought the thicker women a point of being desirable. And the song took off, and the big girls started coming out. And if you can remember, it was the smaller, shapelier females that would be more out there to starlight on the dance floor by their moves. The big girls joined them, and they had no shame in their game. And it became okay. Because I can remember going to the club, and there weren't that many big girls in the club.
Yeah, but I mean, from a parental standpoint, do you think it was looked upon as raunchy?
Not raunchy.
The videos that was on TV, because they kind of zoomed right into the big butts.
Well, there was the catch to it. The video didn't come out before the song. The song came out before the video.
No, absolutely. But I'm talking about the era more than the particular time frame.
Well, it allowed. See, you know, it's not about being raunchy. It was being inclusive. And it said that, you know, because the big girls were left to the sideline. They were not the chosen, chased after. And that's what, because if you remember the video that came out, they had big girls. They didn't have the little petite, you know. Just like now, it's not the era of the big butts. It's the era of the padonkadonks, whatever that means. That's
the
difference.
The thing it is, see, and don't get me wrong, today we see more of it.
You see more what?
The veil has been pulled. Well, I can keep it real. The panties have been pulled off of the butt. You see everything.
Oh, really?
Yes.
You know, I'd be at home
today.
A lot. So is that true?
No. I'm talking about the videos, bro.
Oh, the videos. The videos.
The videos,
okay.
Everything is like even, don't get me wrong, even the Grammys last night, this is what they were talking about. They were talking about Beyonce. Beyonce was showing a lot. They said not. I was one of the Twitter tweets that I saw. It said, "I can't even let my kids watch TV today." And then when Miley Cyrus did it, I heard the same type of flack.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's because of the fact that we always gave Beyonce the point of first class. She's the one to watch. She was the leader in the female artistry as far as her show. But see, there goes where, could she be at the end of her line as far as what she comes out with? You know, there used to be a Diana Ross. Is it time for Beyonce to kind of slow it up and step back? No, because you know why? If that's all she's got to show, I didn't enjoy that.
I would say this. Maybe, this is just my opinion. On the talent scale, she did a she's an awesome talent. What her choice of their choice of show demonstration last night may have not been the best choice.
Right.
But to say she's at the end of her rope.
No, I said, do you think she's at the end of her rope? I didn't say she's the end of it.
I don't think so. Oh, absolutely not.
Very
creative individual. But at the same time, we all cover that human line. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, if she's a mother now, how would she think about that performance and her daughter watching it?
Mm-hmm.
See, you know, I understand what you're saying. I really, really do. And that's why I say, is it a point that she needs to woodshed and figure out another way to come out rather than trying to... Now, she's not as young as Miley Cyrus. See, so, you know, and she's a proven entertainer. She's even sang for the president. That, you know, last night just seemed like drugs. I mean, it did, because that was a shock to me for her to be the way she was on stage last night. You know, it's kind of, oh, no, is that Beyonce? Because her hair was different, and when it first came on, she was hard to figure out who it was. I didn't hear them announce. And then once we saw it was Beyonce, it was like, oh, no. What's she been doing? Too many drugs or something? I hope that's not what's happening with her. Because it was like ratchet.
It was beyond what you would expect of her.
Yeah, exactly.
I agree with that.
You know, and the thing about it is that, okay.
Well, I mean, don't get me wrong. That one performance, for me, it doesn't set the expectation of years to come. Because don't get me wrong, Miley Cyrus was a good girl. She was Hannah Montana. We were used to seeing her one way and accustomed to that. She is transforming. She transitioned, but yet she's still a good performer.
Right. I agree with that. But see, youth can make mistakes, whereas the older you get, the wiser you're supposed to be.
Then it can be detrimental to you.
Yes. And see, and I think that's the backfire on Beyonce's performance and the negativity to that coming from, you know, it was like one of those, oh, no, that's not Beyonce. You know, I mean, it was like, okay, she left the strip club, came here, and now she's performing on stage in front of us. And, you know, I mean, that's the way you took it, you know, and where was the talent? And plus, you have to realize she was, her voice was on track. it wasn't like she was really live singing that total song. So it was like, oh, wow, okay. We moved to another song. Couldn't she have done something different? You know, that's what you would have wanted out of Beyonce. Or just to have her sitting out in the crowd doing nothing, it would have been better. You know, it wasn't, like I said, is she at the end of the road and she needs the woodshed? Or, you know, are we the public really, is that the kind of thing that we want to pay for from a Beyonce? You know, I have to think about Jennifer Hudson and other artists that are, you know, that have the same vocal abilities, yet they, I haven't seen that out of them. And at the Grammys, why bring that there? You know, there's a lot of questions to be asked, you know, because she's got a team behind her. And, you know, she might think she knows it all. I don't know. I don't know how that could have been the choice for her to perform. When you have thought somebody would have said, Beyonce, you know, you got the moves and all of that, and you've got this big fan base.
Now, that's the truth. She got the moves. She got the dance moves. She got it was a little different from what you would expect of her. But like I said, I don't think it draws a line to set the expectations of things to come from her. That's all she has. That's just my opinion. I may be wrong.
Well, yeah, and, you know, I can be wrong on that aspect. I'd like to see her come back from all of that and be the royalty that we've placed her at in the music at this point, because that's the way we see her. We see her as this is the bar. Let's see somebody come up and take her position in our thoughts as far as female entertainers. You know, Tina was there at one time. Diana Ross with the Supremes was there at one time. You know, there's that expectation, you know, that when you get there, you know, that you expect them to have the class, you know, and give it to you, you know. Madonna started there, and Madonna, you know, that was to get attention. And as she got her fan base, they didn't want her to change from her outlandish costumes and what have you. And last night she came on, and she was dressed in all white because she came out during the Macklemore thing. When they exchanged the rings and what have you. And she was dressed appropriate, you know. And I just think, you know, personally, you know, I can't say whether it was wrong for Beyonce's career. But I personally was disappointed as a fan of Beyonce. You know, I thought she was going to rise up like a Michael Jackson. You know, I don't think I ever remember Michael slipping backwards in a performance. Do you?
Could you say that again?
Do you ever remember Michael slipping backwards in a performance? You know, whenever he was out in front of, you know, anybody.
No, but
it would always go to another level, wouldn't it?
Which I agree. I agree. But even Michael, which Michael had a transition and an element that we had what was beyond our expectations as well. Because only reason why, because the element that everybody have is we're human. So we're going to express ourselves different ways at different times. And it's not always going to be favorable to everybody who's watching you.
Oh, brought it back. You didn't like him when he was clutching his package. He did that. You know what? Rest in peace, Michael.
I mean, that's what people say. Thank
you. Yeah, you know what? I had forgotten about him doing the crouch clutch.
But,
and I remember they counted it.
But I want you to know that was his trademark, his trend setting dance move.
Well, yeah. But it wasn't accepted.
I put it this way: it was a lot of cats copying what he was doing.
Exactly, but there was a lot of talk, just like Beyonce last night.
Yeah.
About, you know, why did he do that? You know, and why did he have to do that? And my children were watching, and they were asking why he did that.
I'm just letting you know, Raw Dog, I'd like to go to a commercial. I just didn't want to cut you off as we were talking. So we're going
to
go to a commercial.
Go to the
commercial. Come back. Say it again. We're going
to
go to a commercial. We're going
to
come right back in a minute. Oh, now you throwing me to the commercial. Wow, man. don't do me like that, man. Come on.
You gotta pay the bill.
We'll be back in just a moment, guys. You're listening to Hip Hop National Radio. Tonight we're doing something different. Tonight we're talking about, did you learn anything from the Grammys? And we're expressing our thoughts. We want to hear from you. Please call in at 213-559-2995. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
Hip Hop National Radio presents KO with their smash single, Cry Wolf, Cry Wolf. Photoshop. Original. Dry Wolf, Mean Girls, Photoshop, Original, all hot songs from KO. To hear more from KO, that's K-A-Y-O, visit online at KOblowkisses.com. It's a one-stop shop to get all the hits and info from KO. KO, Cry Wolf, a hip-hop national radio exclusive.
Hip Hop National Magazine has everything you love about being part of the hip hop generation and more. The magazine has A-list celebrity interviews from hip hop national partner, The Val the BB Show, style, fitness, news, health, craft, music from all genres, artist development, also articles with business decision makers on how to succeed in the entertainment industry. Read Hip Hop National Magazine online and in print. Visit hiphopnational.com. Get your Hip Hop National news from the number one source, Hip Hop National Magazine.
Hi, I'm Valder Beebe, and I've got the perfect gift to give your friends and family this Christmas. It's from Nikki Gumbel, The Tiny Book of Why Christmas. This easy-to-understand booklet delivers the fundamental truth about the importance of Christmas and who Jesus Christ is. The Valder Beebe Show and Hip Hop National want you to have a free copy. At Hip Hop National's website, just click on Contact Us, or at ValderBeebeShow.com, click on Email Valder. On our website, at our email, simply enter Why Christmas, and we'll send you a free copy. We'll even handle the postage, because we want you to have a happy holiday. This Christmas giveaway is brought to you by Nikki Gumbel, the creator of Why Christmas, Hip Hop National Radio, and ValderBeebeShow.com.
This station is a member of BOB, Band of Online Broadcasters, powered by Cloud Radio.
All right, we're back. I'd like you guys to go to www.hiphopnational.com, and I'd like for you to upload your music today, because we're here actually to help you promote your music. And we want all music, so we want to hear everything you got. Be sure to lock and load to www.hiphopnational.com. You can also hear the station from there. Very important. Let's stay connected. Let's keep it happening, and let's keep growing together. We're back. You're listening to Hip Hop National Radio. Here is Raw Dog. Raw Dog, I do have a question for you, man, because, you know, when we really got onto this topic earlier, we was talking about the transition that the industry is experiencing. and that for the future of hip-hop, and the question was, is it under a transformation? Is it something that we as hip-hoppers, that you're from your expert point of view, do you think we're overlooking something? And tell me why.
Well, yeah. You know, it's been said that now, you know, a lot of the artists in the beginning, when it was the rap stages, and you had the DJ, and the DJ would put together a mix to which the rapper would rap to. Well, we in one of the shows we talked about that now there is a program that will alert the industry to where the samples of the music came from. And without authorization to use that, people are getting in trouble. Like the Black Eyed Peas guy that sampled someone's song. The Robin Thicke song that sampled someone else. So what's happened is that they are no longer allowing the rappers or those that are in the hip-hop community that they're excluding their music programs. They're taking away their ability to create behind the point of the right to use the sampling from the previous artists, the previous artists' productions, because they're catching them. You know, the shift is such a great one that there are only 12 notes. They have added no more in the history of music. So what happens is that now they're bringing in live musicians, such as a guitar player, such as a bass player, and a keyboardist, and they're able to reproduce the music, but it's no longer under a copyright of the original artist because they put a twist to it. And if you have a human being playing chords in a progression, it's not going to be picked up as the same as on a already copyrighted someone else's production. That's not going to be identical. That's the catch to what has happened to somewhat take a lot of the new artists that are creating the music that they are doing their productions on out of the ability to be recognized or out here to be promoted because they don't own the music, you know, and I don't know. Does that concept seem clear to you, Poetic?
Yeah, it does.
Okay.
But I mean, I would.
But if you went and got a guitar player, and you
wait. You asked me a question. Can I talk?
Okay.
I do agree with on the most part of what you're saying, but. They've always got in trouble for sampling and when they wasn't supposed to. That's why you have to go about it the right way to get sample clearances. If you
don't go about it
the right way, absolutely it's going to slap you and bite you in your butt.
Okay, but now think about this.
Uh-huh.
There's a guitar player, and he's practiced and learned, and he can play that song by another artist, but you bring him into your studio and you track him playing the guitar part, it's going to be similar, but it's not going to be identical. So once they take that song and they scan it with the computer to another copyrighted song, they're going to say, not the same. Because a human being cannot duplicate. He can imitate, but it's not going to be exact. There's going to be a nuance coming from his guitar, something that's going to be, you know, rather than the lower strings being at the same dynamic point as the higher notes in his chord, it's going to be different. And so you now have freedom. Plus, the public is embracing a performance. Psychedelic music no longer exists. Because when it came out with Jimi Hendrix, they wore it out. Every guitar player tried to play the same feedback and all those things that Jimmy was doing. And it burnt out. There's no longer disco. It burnt out. Rap, in the way we understood it, with the drum machines, with the samples, it's gone. None of that made the Grammys. None of it. The holy grail for musicians and artists, that's the Grammy. And the hip-hop artists need to realize that they've raised the bar. You just can't buy jam packs full of loops anymore and install them and select which ones you want to use. There's got to be some creativity, the human element, the twist with the human side of it. So, yeah, you know, hip-hop has changed. I predicted it.
So now my question is, you think the transition of the ones that did get to the Grammys, performed at the Grammys last night, because like you were saying now, don't get me wrong, Jay-Z is hip-hop, and so is Beyonce. She dibble and dabble through hip-hop. Now, my question is, they were on a track CD last night, because it definitely wasn't a live performance. So you're saying that's on the way out the door?
No, they could get away with it because of their icons.
Because they're iconic.
That was Beyonce and Jay-Z. Does it mean it was right? No. Does it mean it was what you wanted?
Doesn't mean it was wrong. Okay, wait. The question is, does it mean it was wrong? Well, you said it doesn't mean it was right. No. Well, it doesn't mean it was wrong. Are you saying that there is a transition happening, and if they don't open their eyes, they could be left behind, where they could actually be on the brinks of the thrust? If they just start to open their eyes now, is that what you're saying?
Okay.
I'm just wondering.
Okay,
there.
You know what was unexpected about Beyonce and Jay-Z?
What?
That was not the normal Beyonce, and not the normal Jay-Z. Normally, Beyonce has a group behind her when she performs.
Mm-hmm.
Normally, Jay-Z's got a group behind him when he performs.
But maybe they,
at an event
maybe
like
they were
that.
Saying, maybe they were saying, "Hey, this is for you low budget guys. It's okay."
No, maybe what they were saying is this.
Because they could afford to put a full ensemble up there.
Right.
I'm just saying.
No, you're right.
We don't know what the message was there now.
I think what the message was is that they were invited to perform, not paid to entertain or perform. They were given an invitation to perform.
And this is
their
an assumption,
royalty.
Or is this
royalty.
Something that you read? Yeah.
Huh?
Just wondering, is that assumption or is that something you read that caught up on and that you're just filling me in on it?
Well, it's nothing that I've read. It's something that I suspect because the point, they're royalty. See, as far as the industry, Jay-Z is an icon. He calls the shots. He's rich. You know, he's richer than he needs to be. And so, therefore, it was an invitation. You know, but they just showed you. They don't donate anything, but they will show up.
Well, all I'm saying is, you know, see, it can be looked at and viewed in two perspectives. And tell me if I'm wrong here, because it's true. It can be looked at and viewed in two perspectives. These two icons, and they both are iconic, they chose to do a track CD when they have the finances to give you a full show.
Okay.
They could have took it over the top, probably more than all the rest of them, everybody else on stage could have.
Okay. Well, can I ask you a question?
But they didn't.
Okay, but I got a question for you.
Yeah, ask me a question.
Have you ever heard of Jay-Z or Beyonce giving to anyone? To the poor, to the homeless, to the hungry?
Did I ever hear?
Have you ever heard of anything like that?
I got to be honest with you to answer that question on the fly, no, but I can do some research to see.
No, but yeah, I hope that they have.
My ears
but
have
then
not
that's
been
the way that,
open before. So.
That's the way that performance I kind of saw. I kind of saw the arrogance, and I kind of saw the, you know, we don't really care kind of point and egotistical side of it, because I didn't see them give much as far as to the people that were watching and entertainment value. I saw more of a flaunting it. And I really enjoy Beyonce and Jay-Z. I'm one of their fans. You know, I have never bought anything that they put out.
So I'm hard struck with your reaction, but hey, it's your reaction. You're entitled to that because it impacted you as it did others, and as well as it did myself.
Right.
As a father, if I had a little child, I probably would be a little bit like, okay, you can't watch that, and that's reality.
Okay, but now I got a question for you.
What's that?
Have you ever read what the requirements are that if you book her for an event, what she requires? The red toilet paper, the titanium straws, the this and that and the other. Have you ever read something that kind of gave that list of what's
talking
necessary?
For her rider? You're talking about her rider.
Something about one of the walls needs to be painted in a certain color. No, I read this somewhere.
I've heard that. I've heard it.
I want you to take that.
You asked me, did I ever read it? No, I didn't read it, but I did.
Yeah,
hear
something
that.
About the toilet seat. You know, and I sit back and I say to myself, okay, what did I see last night? It all kind of fits that whole, I walk on air, I'm not getting paid, I'll give you something to look at, and it's over.
What make you think they didn't get paid for that? What bring you to that assumption? I doubt if they did that show knowing as many people watching it. As many advertisers getting paid on it, they did it pro bono. That's just my.
They get the goodie bag in the back. You know, they got
that
bag that they have all the giveaway stuff in.
They're business people. They'll take that money and probably, if anything, donate it to somebody else. But I'd be darned if they just did it like pro bono. There's too much money riding on the Grammys.
Okay, see,
and
now
everybody's getting paid.
That showed up.
They have to shift that. Not everybody who show up, everybody who performing. Everybody who performing, somebody's got to be getting paid, man, because that's a serious. I don't know. I'm not in their pocket. It's my assumption, because this is business and it's big business.
You know, that would be something that I think I'm going to research behind to find out if they are paid to perform. I think some surely are, but then I also think that that wasn't paid for. And there's just something wrong with it, Poetic. It was just something wrong with it. I mean, you know,
you're saying that particular thing was not paid for.
I don't think so. I hear what you're saying, and I would love to think that, no, they didn't. They did that to just perform for the people, and I can understand that performance. But to get paid for that, I can't see that as being it. Because if you were to rate that performance with the rest of the show, they came up real short. I mean, they came up real short compared to everybody else. And see, that I don't think is, you know, I think they're royalty, Beyonce and Jay-Z. It's part of their resume. Oh, we performed at the Grammys. And I think that's what's giving back to the public, you know. But it was just, if that, you know, it almost turned out the point of wanting to watch the Grammys, because if they were going to follow that, it wouldn't be entertaining. It was just going to be arrogance and flaunting.
Well,
I've been
the whole show. I've been trying to get other people's opinions and their thoughts on it. And I'm getting a negative reaction on a lot of things on it. That the performances wasn't so great. But
Beyonce,
not just her, but
well, let's hear
something. One person is saying that they were terrible. And I ain't calling no names tonight. But I usually do, but I don't want to put nobody under the bus, and you know who the person is. But they're saying that it was just weird the whole night, and Beyonce was high or drunk. So
I said drunk.
You know, yeah. So it's one of those things that, you know, hey, it could be. I don't think it's a career killer. It just was a bad move. That's just
you know what? She was almost a bad Marilyn Monroe remake. That's the way I kind of saw her, as they used Marilyn and her looks and what have you, and they accepted her in the room. Don't say much. Just show them what you got. And that was it. You know, and you know, it's unfortunate, but, you know, I guess, you know, hey, I almost used the wrong language then. I said, you know, she can be a queen and she can be the other, you know. Hey, wrapped up in one
package. We know once she start getting on a rampage with those words, she gets mad.
Gotta take it back to the street.
You're listening to Hip Hop National Radio. Tonight we're talking about, did you learn anything from the Grammys? And it's been a great discussion, by the way. And we'll be back in just a moment, so y'all stay with us. But before we go to the break, I'm telling you, go to www.hiphopnational.com, upload your music today. Thank you.
Industry professionals, have you been looking for an outlet to get your music heard? Hip Hop National Radio and HipHopNational.com, your digital service provider to get the best music first. pop, rock, jazz, R&B, gospel, and etc. All genres of music with a hip-hop twist. This is your chance to get it first and stay on top of the competition. HipHopNational.com is for you. Log on now.
Gospel, hip-hop, pop, R&B, calling all genres of music. Hip Hop National Radio is ready to give you the chance of a lifetime with our Flyers on Fire Street Connect campaign. Hip Hop National Radio, in conjunction with Poetic Inc., is gearing up for a promotional campaign that will sweep the nation. Flyers on Fire Street Connect campaign. Yes, Hip Hop National is taking your music to the streets in all the major cities across America. Wait, there's more. Flyers on Fire campaign will go viral as well, attacking all the major social networks, Twitter, MySpace, Facebook, and more. The Flyers on Fire campaign is designed for you, the artist, to hit many major markets to promote your music at the fraction of the cost. Hip Hop National Radio is all about teaching you how to take your music from the studio to the bank. Our mission is to assist you in spreading the good news about your music while making a profit. Get in now. Log on to HipHopNationalRadio.com. Remember, promotions are the key to making your project a success. Hip Hop National Radio has the network to take your project to the next level. Our packages start at $85. Call 954-461-3398. That's 954-461-3398 for more details.
Do me a favor. The premier option for all of your event planning needs. We coordinate events of all kinds. We do corporate events, networking mixers, fundraisers, parties. In fact, we do it all. Custom favors and invitations are just among other things that we can do. So log on at www.dmafonline.com. That's www.dmafonline.com. We create favorable memories for any occasion.
This station is a member of BOB, Band of Online Broadcasters, powered by Cloud Radio.
All right, and we're back. You're listening to Hip Hop National Radio. If you looked at the Grammys last night, I would want you to call in. I want you to call in. Press the number one, I say call in, and I give you the website. That's ludicrous. Anyway, call in 213-559-2995. Again, it's 213-559-2995. I want to know, did you learn anything from the Grammys last night? And we've been covering this topic from beginning to end. Now, the question is, Raw Dog, and this is one of my last questions of the night. Not really. I got a few more. One of the big questions. Are we sleeping? And do you think we're slipping in? Because you said no. You said no, we're not sleeping or slipping. So what state are we in now as hip-hoppers? What's your thoughts?
Well, hip-hop is moving from the crabs in the barrel to the creative product, okay? More mind over matter, okay? See, it used to be matter. They could sample somebody else and put their words over it. And I'll give you an example. A gentleman by the name of Poetic did a song and used a sample from someone else.
And don't even drop the name.
No, I won't. And at this point right now, realizes that was a great song.
Blowing in my backyard.
No. Listen, that was a great set of lyrics that he put on that song. But the point of that product and the shelf life never could exist. But what if he would have taken the time and had his own creativity with other musicians rather than a sample. The shelf life of that, they still might be playing it. See, the thing about it is that hip-hop has been that fast of a in and out, in and out, in and out. But the original creations that people are doing, like, you know, hey, I like big butts, okay? Still in commercials. Isn't that over 20 years old? Mm-hmm. Something like that. Okay, why? Because it was created, it was original, and shelf life. These new, younger artists that are doing the samples and what have you, what they don't realize, they used to sample James Brown. Well, that's over 35 years, 40 years. They're going back in the archives and they're sampling Marvin Gaye. They're sampling all, but they're getting caught, so their product has no shelf life. How many different artists have sampled the same thing and put something on it? The artist Poetic, there have been so many others that used the sample that you pulled back and said, no, I'm not going to allow this because I know what the rules are. Even though you liked it,
yeah,
it was a point that...
Well, all I know is with that, you have to get permission from the publisher or,
exactly,
or from the creator themselves, but you have to have the permission, and if you don't have the permission, yeah, you're liable. They're not going to come at you if you ain't making no money with it. But as soon as that thing starts to top a dollar, it's all business for them. They're going to want to recoup their cash.
Well, that's the guy, the Black Eyed Peas.
For your infringement. Huh?
And that was the guy that with the Black Eyed Peas that took a sample from somebody. And they caught him. That was Robin Thicke, his last song, and they caught him. All right? So, you know, the whole thing about it, oh, I see something. The whole thing about it is that, you know, the creativity and shelf life, you know, because that's what's going to make a profit on your product. May not make you rich, but it may make you something. I see we have someone that has raised their hand. Did you notice that?
Don't get excited.
I'm not excited. I want somebody else to help me throw you under the bus.
574-2262. Please state your name, where you're calling in from.
Hey, my name's Eddie. I'm calling from Indiana. How are you?
Hey, Eddie. How you doing tonight? Eddie, did you watch the Grammys last night?
Yes, I did. I didn't watch the whole Grammys, though.
What did you see? What was the best highlight of the night that you could state, and what was the worst?
Well, Lorde getting that award.
Okay.
Yep.
And then I don't know what the worst is. Were you guys mentioning Robin Thicke? What did he do?
Oh, he sang with Chicago.
Oh, I heard about that. I missed the performance, but I thought that was awesome.
Okay, you thought his singing with them was, or Chicago as a group is awesome?
No. I think them singing together is awesome. I love it when, like, two generations collide. That makes awesome music right there.
Okay.
Are you a musician? Are you a musician, Eddie?
No, I'm not a musician, but...
So I'm going to tell you what it is, Rodolfo. He's listening to it on the more or less as a fan side. You're listening with a critical ear because you are that musician that's well trained by
right.
the ear.
Uh-huh.
So that's what you're getting here. So he enjoyed the performance and he enjoyed what he saw. But did he listen to it on the technical end? Probably not.
Yeah.
You know. That was the difference. Now, can I ask you something,
you know,
Eddie?
What?
Are you a hip hop fan?
Am I? Yes, I am. What is the thing?
Well, we
so
were talking about the
is,
transition that
we,
that Grammy showed in the hip hop artists.
Oh, if they want a transition, then that's their decision. So yeah.
Well, okay, and let me explain it to him, boys.
Let him break it
okay,
down
what I was trying, you know, I've been trying to teach the young people that are trying to come out and be in the hip hop genre that it's actually shifting. And last night was somewhat evidence of that, because you had Macklemore, and he was had an ensemble on stage of musicians and what have you, rather than the DJ. But he had his backing computer with those musicians, so he had the element of electronics and live musicians in his performance. That enhanced his show to me. You know, that gave you something, the visual with the horns and what have you. And then he brought out the female singer, and she did her thing. And, you know, it was an ensemble of people on stage to do that song. And it gave you a visual, entertaining point of that song and him doing it live for you. So it gave it more value. You know, the same as Pharrell with Daft Punk. He had Niles Rogers on stage, and he brought Stevie Wonder out, and he had the drummer. And he had, you know, it was the ensemble. And then they showed Daft Punk with the vocal effects being applied during the performance of the song. And it gave a broader spectrum of the production, because you had the human side from the begin, you know, from the past, where it was the hip hop artist only had a DJ on stage. You
yeah.
see what I'm saying?
I hear what you're saying.
Okay. So that is, to me, is the slide and the change that we're going to see coming more and more in the hip hop artists and their productions. It's going to have more musicians in it. That's going to give it the life that the music stopped having.
Uh-huh. I get it now. I have seen that a lot.
Now, you say you get it, but do you agree or do you disagree or do you... What's your thoughts on what he was saying?
Well, my thoughts... Well, so you're saying that, like, you bring all these different musicians out randomly and... Well, my thoughts on that, I think that is pretty awesome. That makes the performance even better. So I agree it is way better.
And do you think that hip-hop followers that enjoy the music, that they're somewhat burnt out of just having the artist come out with the DJ?
Well, yeah.
See, you know, it was okay for so many years for that to be done. But I think it's been done to its entirety. And what we're being shown is that if you're going to be put in the favor and have fans, there's got to be more to your act than just you and the DJ. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yes,
you
I
know,
do.
And I've been trying to explain that. Because a lot of the young artists aren't picking up on the shift. You know, it's like, you remember, okay, you're probably too young, but there was an era called disco.
Oh, I've heard about it.
I'm either
going to bring it back.
I lived it. So, hey, for you hearing about it, I know you're younger than me. But there was a DJ, and he could play the songs. And that was all you got.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to ask yourself, where's disco now? It's
well, I can
out.
I can feel it coming back.
You think so?
Yeah. It's good that you brought that up, because I think that Bruno Mars and Daft Punk could bring back disco.
Well, but see, you know what? That's the creation of the dance song.
Yeah.
And you know what? That's another transition of hip-hop. because I believe that there, everything that could be said has been said, and people want to be able to dance rather than hear someone on stage doing their ego trip.
Yes.
You know, I mean, we had a discussion one time about going and paint in a club to hear a hip-hop artist come out with the DJ. And I tried to...
You just said something about an ego trip. But how about this? Was Tribe Called Quest a ego trip?
What was that?
A Tribe Called Quest. Were they on an ego trip?
Were they on an ego trip?
Was I'm not sure.
Is the artist
I'm not really sure.
on an ego trip?
I'm just
well,
not sure.
Can I say this to you? I'm gonna save you, Eddie. I don't even remember what the heck they did.
Well,
oh.
they were more conscious driven artists. When you say that they're on an ego trip, when they're more conscious driven, or they got something to say of stature.
What is one of their songs?
Value into what we say.
Name one of their songs.
Name one of their songs?
No, I'm asking Poetic to name one of their songs.
Well,
I'll name one in a minute. I'm glad you brought that example.
Thank you, Lord. You don't even remember what the name of their song was.
I don't.
But you remember the name of the group, but that's it.
Yep.
Where's the shelf life of their song?
Well, I'm just talking about that.
Be human now. Be human. If you can't name the name of their song, I can tell you, James Brown did a song called Popcorn. He also did a lot of other dance songs. Okay,
I can say one artist that I personally follow and I really liked was Tupac. Tupac wasn't always on an ego trip.
Tupac is a legend.
But see, he was different.
Yes, he was.
There was only one Tupac.
And Big Notorious.
Yeah. See, so when you say icons, there you go.
Yeah,
I'm just saying
these guys they were on stage with DJs, whatever you want to say. But they were
back
on there like
then,
that. But all I'm saying is it wasn't they still were not on an ego trip. They were
putting down a message. Okay, but that was then. We're talking now.
Everybody who rap is not always on an ego trip.
We're talking now.
That's the point that I'm making right now.
Hold it. You can't make that point because we're talking now. Tupac was then.
Yes, it was.
Let's talk about now. Because, see, when you dig back in the bag and you bring something like that up, I say, okay, I respect that. That was then. This is now.
Yeah. That's right.
So today, in the year 2014.
Well, don't get me wrong. Okay, I'll say Macklemore was not on an ego trip.
No.
Because I listened to his song. That's pretty much what I'm speaking of, the consciousness of the song. It was socially conscious.
The song is
socially conscious. What I'm saying is, if a rapper is transitioning to the social consciousness of today, to understand that, hey, it's a little bit more than about my ego. I see that being a good transition for them.
We're not talking
period.
About Macklemore. We were talking about the artist that comes out with the DJ.
Yes.
We were not talking
about
the artist that's got a performance group behind him when
DJ.
He comes out.
You can come out with a DJ, Rodolph, and that drops a nice beat and still come up with a nice conscious song.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, who? Tell me who.
I don't care who's doing it or who's not doing it. I'm saying you can.
Tell me who's done it
I'm
now.
I'm saying you can. You can come down with a conscious song.
Okay.
A good conscious song.
You have an older mind than me, and I'm older than you.
Ooh, okay.
Let's come to the generation that we're dealing with now. And help them, because, see, that is not the way the industry nor the fans are going to accept someone that is going supposedly to entertain them to be any longer. We've seen better. Let's save our money and go to Let's save our money and go to Daft Punk. I'm not spending that kind of dollars on this guy over here with the DJ.
Wait. Now I'm a, I wasn't so impressed with Daft Punk's
Daft Punk.
I wasn't so impressed with the performance. Am I impressed with the music? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
The performance wasn't all that great.
Well, see, there's the catch to it. They're not a performing group as you saw them. They haven't had to do that.
Mm-hmm.
They're from Europe. No. They're from Europe.
They play the instruments and all that stuff. I just wasn't so impressed with the performance. Am I impressed with the music? What I hear? Yes, I am. A lot of times you hear a track musician, and I'm not trying to be funny, who came up with a creative hit that's out there. You don't know what they are until you see them perform.
Well, that wasn't
and
the
that's
guys
the case
in the studio. That wasn't the same guys in the studio.
Yeah.
That was a different set of guys. Niles Rogers was the one in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Wasn't it trombone, I forget what his name, his group that came up there with Niles Rogers? Trombone Shorty, I think, who is an artist down south. He's really good. But I think that's who came out with them. I'm not sure. Say that. What did you say, Poetic?
Nothing really. I'm just listening. I'm kind of responding a little. I don't know what to respond with.
Okay. Uh-oh. We've got another number on the board.
Uh-oh.
Let me check this out. Let me see if they've got something to put in on this. Number 773-410. I see you raised your hand.
Hello.
Who am I speaking with?
I can't hear you.
Who am I speaking with?
This is Boss Man from Boss Man Entertainment.
Okay. Boss
cool.
Man, what do you have to put in
man.
About this?
What I have to say about...
Okay.
So, now repeat the question.
What's your thoughts on tonight's topic? What's your thoughts on tonight's topic, pretty much?
With these artists, you know, it's hip-hop. I don't call it hip-hop because hip-hop really told a story. Some of this stuff, I don't even know what you want to label this. I guess you want to call it rap because it just run on and run on and run on. But hip-hop actually told a story about the struggles other people. There was a movement. This is not no movement. This is just something that
you
make
a
hit.
It's an ego trip. Raw Dog mentioned that earlier. He said nobody want to hear anything about somebody's ego. I agree with that. Today's market for rap is an ego trip. But the truth is, it didn't start off that way, and it don't have to continue that way.
Right.
You know?
And so my thing is, you know, we understand that everybody is basically, if you got a hit, you automatically got a deal, so they automatically signing you and you keep making garbage music. And it's really, and that's why we got a generation that's crazy. The kids killing each other because of the music. But
I heard about that.
So when it really means something, like, it's like with anything that have a message behind it, it normally changes the way people think. So now that it got a message, what they're doing, you got more killings than you had in Iraq and what they're doing now in these different communities because what? They listen to that garbage music, Chief Keef, that trap, whatever you want to call it, trap music and all these other cats.
Oh,
and
Chief Keef.
Right. And
I love
so,
Chief Keef.
Well, I don't think it's music because it's just somebody that went in there and just made up a little hit. Kanye West rapped on it because he liked it. He ended up getting a record deal. Yeah. And so, but it's just crazy how everything is changing. Then you got a couple, the Macklemore, ain't nobody never heard of him. And he don't got, what, 4 Grammys last night? Because what they're doing, they're trying to change the face of hip hop. Why?
You know what they're doing?
Changing the face. They want to be white.
No, that's not what they're doing.
No,
I'm going to tell you what they're doing. This is truth. They're taking the control of the production to another level. And so what's happened is, it's like the VCR. Everybody's set up some type of recording studio. They made it cheap, they made it inexpensive, and you can buy programs and plugins and loops and all of that. It's no longer relevant. They're taking that out of the marketplace of value, and they're replacing it saying, you need qualified people in your production. The computer has caught up with sampling. The loops are just generic. They're not really that infinite or defined. They're mechanical rather than human in feeling. And the industry is laughing because they dumped, and everybody could buy and have a recording set up inexpensively with their computer in their home.
Yes.
It's like the PlayStation 3. They've now come out with PlayStation 4. This is the era that we're in now. They're coming out saying, okay, those of you that bought the equipment, how many of you bought interfaces that you could have live musicians participate on your product?
Well, most of the studios have them now.
Okay, are they set up? Now, I'm talking about the individual. I'm not talking about the bigger ones. I'm talking about the individuals that are putting out products and trying to get into this industry.
Yeah.
Do they really have the equipment that they can bring in a musician and put them on the tracks?
I don't know about their studio, but what we use, we have them. We can plug good cars in.
Yeah.
We can plug good cars. We can plug up all this stuff.
What kind of interface do you have?
Look, I don't do all that. I don't know anything about it. I just know about Pro Tools. I don't even know how to record an artist. I just go in there. I'm just a financial advisor. I just front the money. And so the engineer, he do all the work.
Okay.
So I don't even know that. I just know my part.
Okay. I can't say you do, and can't say you don't.
But I'm getting around to learning it. Then I'll be
okay. That's why I asked you what type of interface you guys were using, because I was going to tell you a secret, but you don't know. So I was
looking up some the other day. I know they got PreSonus. They got the Focus Light or some Focus Right, something like that. I looked up a couple of them the other day, but I couldn't tell you what he's using in there.
Okay. And the secret I was going to tell you, buy an expensive interface, okay?
There's right.
Because of the fidelity and the amount of inputs you're going to be able to use. You know, there's the catch to the studio. See, that's why, you know, I love artists, and I want to see success out of the people that are younger than me and getting into this game. I want to see that. And there are things that maybe they're not aware of and they need to know so they can be competitive. Because, see, it is shifting. You know, like I was telling earlier, you know, if you have a live musician that he can play Gladys Knight and the Pip song, you know, on the train to Georgia. But you record him playing that, it's no longer Gladys Knight. it's no longer Gladys Knight's guitar part from that song. He is, because of him being a human being, it's not going to be the exact same, so you won't get a copyright infringement. Because the human
right.
point will not allow that guitar, unless he's an exceptional copycat, will not align up to the program that the industry has put out there to find copyright infringement.
Mm-hmm.
You know, see, so that's the only reason I was saying that is because they have done that. They have taken it away and brought that big program in that they can find every sample that you might take from wherever you take. It might take them a little while, but they can find it, and then your production is stopped because you don't have all the rights. But if you have that interface that allows you to bring in musicians, then you have the edge and you have the product, and they can't stop you. And you will then be in control. But see, the industry has changed, and guess who paid for that computer program to find out where you sample things from? The industry. It wasn't the individual, it was the industry, because they saw that there were so many artists able to make money on their productions by sampling and then marketing them. That was the way it was in the beginning of this rap game, and when it came to productions and what have you. And, you know, the original artists didn't get paid for being sampled and used on this new production. So, you know, as independent artists and independent studios, you know, that investment in that interface, that's the best dollars you could ever spend.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the fact that then you can bring in people that can, that are musicians and what have you, that can give you the freedom of having a clear project. And you just dance all the way down the street making that money.
Okay.
And that's the shift that you saw in everything last night. You saw Pharrell up there with Niles Rogers.
Mm-hmm.
You saw Macklemore with his musicians on stage. So they have the freedom that the other artists don't have. Plus, guess what? They're so different with having live musicians. They're sought after to perform at events. It's different than the other hip-hop artists who are coming looking for the DJ to play their track. You become an entertainer with an entourage that will give a show, that will give the people an event that they can have different visual focal points and hear the creativity and the dynamics of the group. That's the reason Bruno Mars is so good. Did you check him out last night?
No, I had stopped watching. I ended up doing something else, but I know he's a good artist because he can play a guitar, and like you said, they performers, they artists, they entertain, and there's more to it, just like you said, than just getting up there with a DJ, passing the track, you go up there and rap over your lyrics that you already got recorded.
Exactly. But see, guess what? You can have everything going on that Bruno Mars has and get paid.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's the catch to it. You got to change because the change is coming. They showed it to you last night. They've upped the game. And that makes them stand out, whereas an artist that's just as good that hasn't opened himself up to understanding I can be and I can do. Those guys weren't perfect up there on stage. There were flaws in their stuff. But that's the human side. And the public accepted it and went crazy behind it. Because, guess what? They've been starving them. Hip-hop artists have been starving the public of all of that. Only a few could do that, a Jay-Z. You know, I even saw Justin Timberlake with Timberland. Mm-hmm. The boys that was on with Justin Timberlake, oh, boy, with the Timberland group, they were just smokers. Them boys was off the hook. And, you know, the thing about it is get to that level, and you can tell them how much you charge. I mean, I want you young guys to take over. Seriously. And the thing about it is that, yes, they've changed the playing field. That's the way it's done. They want to stay in control. They want to stay so that they're on top. But it's easy to fit in. You know, Macklemore did it. His songs aren't that deep. His songs really aren't much to think about. The one he did when it came, you know, when he thought he was gay, okay, that took a lot of creativity. But look who was behind that movement. He embraced the gay society, but he said he wasn't gay.
Uh-huh.
Do you know how many gay clubs? No, I don't know how many gay clubs there are because I'm not gay.
Okay. I can't tell you that.
Hey, I'm going to pull you back in the car with me. I don't know. I ain't going to let you just be hung out there and throw you a question like that. And you go, hey, he don't know me like that. So, you know, my trip is like he caught a community of people that you have to think about, okay, well, the Village People were their first group that they embraced and they took to the Grammys. They did that years ago. And then RuPaul tried to jump in there.
Macklemore said, man, you know what color money is? Green. And that's what he went after. He said, hey, boom, everybody got money, and everybody like music. So why should I ostracize anybody?
Exactly.
And that's the mentality you have to take when you in this business of music. You have to
But I never thought I was gay.
Yeah. Well,
see,
I get that.
Yeah, see, but
what I'm trying to tell you is, hey, he embraced the crowd that, you know, usually is overlooked, and they usually ostracize. And he said, you know what? You know what? They're human just like me, and I'm going to make me some money off of them, period.
And he did.
I'm going to get every dollar, and that's what he's doing.
And you know what? Him coming from my state, Washington State, it was really, really a strategic plan because the mayor now of Seattle, Washington, is gay. The you know, San Francisco is also a hub for the gay community also. So he hit that I-5 corridor. And see, before, as an independent artist, he was embraced before he went to the industry for a distribution deal.
Right.
So he had the statistics and the certification and the movement behind him. It was very, very well thought out. You know, and he's been in the craft for at least 12 to 15 years. And Ryan Lewis has been in it at least 12 to 15 years. So for them to come to the forefront and be able to Grammy and get four of them, it just seems like it's a white thing, but it wasn't. It was not a white thing. It was a different, original, intelligent artist with a product that had nothing to do with the industry producing it. He had a following that was strategically pushing him everywhere that the industry didn't have a dollar to collect out of before he went to them. And they worked a deal because the industry didn't want to miss out on that money. It was a proven success before he went there.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, my hat's off to somebody that's smart enough to say, okay, I want to do well in this music industry. I must have a plan. I must have a fan base. You know, so when we talk about...
I must have a team. I must have a team. Because I'll tell you one thing I saw Macklemore did do. He acknowledged the people behind the scene that helped put him on beyond just the group itself having good music. The team that pushed
what team? Who did he say?
Forefront.
He said,
I want to acknowledge my fiance.
Oh, okay.
And then I want to acknowledge my team. Go back and look at it.
Okay, and guess what? This is what he said.
He said, I want to acknowledge all of you fans, because without you guys, I wouldn't be here. Before all of this TV press and all of this stuff, it was you guys who pushed me to the forefront. I want to acknowledge my fiance, and I want to acknowledge my team. That's what he said.
Okay. And you know what? Okay. And you know what? His team were, that you're speaking of, are those that helped him in that production for that album. And if you notice, he didn't shout out to it. I noticed one thing in the Grammys, that the labels, or you remember like Capitol, Atlantic, and Universal, mm-hmm. you didn't hear any acknowledgments to them from the artist last night.
Oh,
the only one that was done.
He said we did this without, this is an independent company. We did it without a label, guys. This is what he said.
Well, yeah, and most of the artists.
And don't get me wrong, I'm proud to see an independent step up to the plate and bat and knock a home run. That's an awesome thing.
But see, that's what I'm saying. None of the people acknowledged a label last night, except for LL Cool J, who said something about Def Jam and his career. But there was no acknowledgments, and that kind of shocked me, because it told me that these people are able to do productions, and this is why they're successful, is because they're not having industry costs taken from them. You know, the industry used to make a lot of money producing artists.
They're not now.
No. And this is that's why I say the change has come to hip-hop. Is because of the fact that now the creativity can be done and owned by the team of people that put it together, rather than the label who used to bring the team of people in to make the production. See, you know, they're kind of shaken behind all of this. They're kind of shaken, and they're kind of taken aside because of the fact that, hey, how do we control this? Distribution. That's their one point that they have control of. And it's up to the artists now to be able to have a product worthy enough to get that nod for a distribution deal. They no longer can shelve you. They can only tell you no. The distribution deal is going to have to come out of the artist's pocket, or because we're not going to invest in this product. It did not pass.
And you could, and today you can say, oh, you're not okay. No problem. If you don't look, we already making it happen, but you got to really be making it happen.
Well, yeah,
right.
Because you don't even have a foot to stand on if you ain't making it happen. You, the thing that the story is not bubbling around your story.
Exactly.
So you have to create that story. And if you and don't get me wrong, that's where it all comes into play. That's why I was talking about teamwork. Like Hip Hop National, we're here to help you create that story.
But that's what makes Pharrell so powerful.
To help give you that platform so we can interview you, give you that close up and personal so we'll know what's going on so we can put it out to the industry. And that's it.
Exactly.
Don't get me wrong. It takes news feeds like that to kind of open doors for you.
Exactly. And that's why Pharrell was the top guy. Pharrell has been around. And he invested his money, and he controls his studio. Now, you know what? Now, see, a guy like me would love to run through Pharrell's studio, you know, because they would probably just blow my mind on all the things he has in there that to work his music out with. See, you know, there was a advertisement before Jay-Z, the Holy Grail, came out, and they were showing it on TV, and they had the studio, and they had a lot of equipment in there, and they were working on different parts of the song. And it was, what can stop them? They have the industry equipment at their fingertips. They can produce the sound that the industry used to, and maybe even better. So when we talk about, hey, the independent artist, oh, yes, there is a chance, but he's got to evolve, and he's got to understand that it has shifted, and that the public is now saying, hey, I've spent enough money on the DJ and the artist. You're going to charge me that kind of money. I want more for my money. I want more, or I'll just wait until someone I know that's coming that's going to bring more. I want to be entertained. I don't want to be taken and given less. My money is worth something at the grocery store, at the gas pump, you know? I could spend it there and feel a lot better than going up seeing a DJ and one person. I'm not moved by that. Now, I don't know. Are you moved by that, Poetic?
Am I moved by it?
Yeah.
To be honest with you right now, I'm a hip-hopper. I'm moved by the lyrical bass and the performance as well. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that it can't be better. Yes, I do think that they need to improve on it. But to say I'm not moved by it, I'm moved by it if they give a good performance. Because I look, just like you, how you look at music, in a way, by ear, in a way that you hear it like no other. Whereas me personally, I'm looking at a visual performance of what artists would put on as far as showmanship.
Okay,
and
would you pay $25 to go see an artist and a DJ?
An artist, it's usually, can I tell you something, Rod? I done been to those concerts. It's more than an artist and a DJ. It's artists, a DJ, dancers, it's a whole show, brother. It's not just
okay.
Well,
the artist and the DJ and
that's,
the dance.
That's,
would you pay $25 to go see that?
Listen to me. That's how you think those performances are. Those performances are not just like that. They have more than just a DJ. They have horns going. They got a party.
Horns
like
going?
Atmosphere.
You mean horn players?
On what you call it, and it's fun. It's
you
fun.
Mean horn
I've
players or just the sound? Are you talking about
they got they got sound effects, they got explosions. It's just more of a show than just a DJ and an artist.
And you pay for that now in the year 2014.
They bring I'll say they bring a little bit more to it than what you're looking at. What I've seen, yes, I'll pay for it. I'll pay for it if it's a good show.
Okay, meet me in the back alley because I'm going to hit you in the head.
I got to know the artist. I got to know the artist, and I got to know who the entertainer is and that they're going to give me a good show. But usually it's more than just – when I tell you like this, you're thinking it's just an artist and a DJ. No, it's not an artist and a DJ. It's an artist, DJ, a whole dance routine. It's all kinds of stuff that's going into making the act.
That ain't
enough.
They don't
just get up there with a DJ and an artist.
That ain't enough. You don't know no better.
Hey, Rod out. When they've been putting on concerts, I'm telling you, when they're putting on concerts, they'll bring in singers to sing their hook if they got a singing portion in the hook.
Okay, that ain't enough. You don't know no better.
No, it's not that I don't know no better. Everybody
no, you
do
don't.
A show differently.
I'll tell you why.
Everybody do a show differently, and you have to look at it.
No. Listen to this one, and I'm not putting you down. But did you ever see George Clinton and Funkadelic?
I have seen George Clinton and the Funkadelics perform, not live. I didn't get to see it live. I just saw it through TV programs, but reality
okay. If you would have ever have gone to see that production before rap and what have you, guess what? You would have never settled for less.
You will always have your bias opinion about rap because you are not a rapper.
But they sampled Funkadelic in the early rap.
I'm just trying to tell you, you'll have your biased opinion, period, forever about a rapper.
I didn't like rap. I just said $25 or an event, and that's what they're going to bring to you. And I asked you, did you, the same concert, George Clinton, and he had the whole ensemble, the dancers and all of that, the same thing they sampled the music from, and you had seen that production, you could not settle for less. You don't know any better. You just told me that. You don't know any better. And if that's not your fault, that just happens to be how the industry changed up.
I just know that when an artist is at a concert. Now, if you're looking at somebody who got a low budget, yes, you're not going to get that much of a show between an artist and a DJ. But if you got somebody like when Bow Wow was doing his thing, because that's one of the concerts I've seen that this, where it was just an artist. But it was beyond just an artist. It was an artist, DJ. It was a whole routine, a whole skit that was put on to put on the show.
And at Dupree's birthday, his birthday, Bow Wow did it to a live group. And they had the dancers and what have you. So they shortchanged him.
Well,
you didn't know
better. That works. That works.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say is it's evolved. Even the priest's birthday was after you saw Bow Wow. He no longer does it that way.
Yeah.
See, I understand, but the demand is for more. There's been enough money spent on the DJ and just the artist. And the Grammys showed that last night.
So you're saying everybody, if everybody's not bringing it, and this is a closing because we're about to close in a few minutes, you're saying if everybody's not bringing it like they did on the Grammys, that is unacceptable.
If they're not putting on a show, the standard has changed.
They're not bringing it
the
like
the standard
like,
has
like,
changed. If you want the Holy Grail
that's how everybody in the industry is looking at it. The standard has changed, and now you're speaking for the industry at this moment. You're not speaking from Raw Dog. You're speaking from the industry saying it. The standard has changed. You got to bring your A game. You got to bring it. Just as the Grammys did, if you want to be successful.
The Holy Grail is the prize.
No,
Let's not kid ourselves. The Grammy is the Holy Grail, and that's the prize. You know, they always say keep your eye and your mind on the prize, okay? Certification and money. Follow the Holy Grail. That's it. I mean, it's a shame, but it's the truth.
What's the shame?
It's a shame that the value is put in that fashion, that you just can't be yourself and a homie and go on stage. You've now got to be an entertainer. You've got to bring the polish, the flash. You've got to bring the show. You've got to bring all of that. You may be on a low budget, and you may not be making much money because you have that entourage, but you're going after the Holy Grail.
So,
now, if that's
so
where your sight stars, then that's what
to
you got
to
do.
That every time you go out to do a performance today, you got to bring a keyboard player. You got to bring your a good guitar, your drummers, and their drum sets. You got to have
getting
a bass
paid something
player.
Is more than what they're doing to perform with
I'm
the DJ paying
you,
something.
I'm asking you as you go out to perform today. If you don't have this, you're not standing up. You're not standing up to standards.
I'm not performing.
No. I'm asking you. I'm asking you at for your perspective on how you see things for the industry, the way you see it.
Okay. The way I see it is this. This is a professional level, and that's what every artist is claiming. You don't put your pants on any different than Macklemore. You don't put your pants on any different than Pharrell. You got to bring it because you're being compared to them, even if you don't want to be. The point of not being, I'm poor, I don't have this and that, you know, doesn't stand up. You know, that's just like going for a job and they say you have to wear a suit and a tie every day. And you say, I don't have a suit and a tie. Well, you don't have a job. Reality sucks, but let it suck. Understand it, prepare yourself, and do the darn thing. There's no pity in this game. I'm not supposed to feel sorry because you don't have. Work 9 to 5. Get it. Do it. Be about it. You know, it's either you're going to be or you're a wannabe. Now, that's the way a man puts on his pants. That's the way a woman puts on hers. Hey, do it.
Right,
you
poetic.
Know?
I love that. That was awesome.
Hey, but it was the reality of the music industry. There's, you know, they don't care. Oh, I'm poor. I can't do this. Oh, they don't care. They'll show you the door. When you get it together, come back and see me. Hey,
all right,
you know
guys,
what?
Y'all heard it first right here on Hip Hop National Radio. We're getting ready to cut out for tonight. Appreciate you guys tuning in, keeping it locked and loaded.
Hey, they
definitely
were great.
Definitely tune back in tomorrow because Dr. AT will be in the mix. You're listening to Hip Hop National Radio. Good night, everybody.
And good night.
And good night.
Thanks for coming along for the ride for another tour through the new music industry on Hip Hop National Radio.
Hip Hop National Radio.
Hip Hop. Hip Hop. Hip Hop National.